better than this? Guys, me and dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, and Chris Schubert from the Draft Network. And we are your hosts here on this Friday episode of the show. Kyle, what's up?
Wee woo. The college football playoff is adding spots. Chris thought I was going to go off the reservation here with a wee woo, but this is actually what we planned on spending some time about today on this Friday free for all discussing the news that the college football playoff is opening their doors to more teams, more games, more revenue. Hooray. It's all great. And I can't help but think, guys, the first thing that came to my mind was there's no way this gets done without NIL, right?
Oh, that's an interesting way to position it.
Okay, just in case maybe somebody listening doesn't know what that means, what does that mean?
NIL is the recent steps that have begun to be taken across college football to allow college athletes to monetize themselves and make money off of being the most important cogs in the college sports and college football specifically realm and getting diddly poo for it, as Jim Mora would say.
Yes. NIL, name, image, likeness. For those maybe who are listening that didn't know what that stood for. NIL, yeah, only, name, image, likeness.
Right. Okay. So Kyle went immediately to a place I wasn't expecting. We didn't even get to yell about the dynamics of this or bounce the ideas or even discuss
what's on the tape. You can't possibly say we're going to add another, two games for some of these kids that are already playing 13, 14 games?
Well,
some
wait a minute.
Of them three.
Kyle, can I maybe reposition your positioning?
Yeah.
Is this really more games? Because they're just going to resurface bowl games for these games, right?
It's certain teams are going to be playing more games.
Right.
So, you're playing an NFL season now. You're playing a legit NFL season as an unpaid college athlete with all the wear and tear that's on those bodies. The NFL is billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars as an industry, and they can't even get their pension stuff right.
I think this is more the greed of the commissioners inside college football to ask for more money in a TV deal than it is them looking at NIL legislation, but I certainly think that played a factor here.
Yeah, I think NIL opened the door for the conversation of 12 teams to be embraced. Is kind of just how I look at it, because the pushback you would get if it's like, nah, y'all keep being the most important things and enjoy your free scholarships and your lunches and so on. So, and like your bowl swag that you get. And if they trotted out and they said, well, Boise State, congrats on winning the first two rounds. We hope you enjoyed your bowl swag. Now we got you in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, and now you get a PS4, but not a PS5. If that's the carrot they're dangling out in front of college athletes, they really have to worry about the new wave in what you're seeing in college football and college football players saying, you know what? I think I've shown enough. I don't think I need to play anymore. I think I'm going to stand on my resume and I'll declare for the NFL draft, and I'm not going to play in any games that are any more eligible. So for them to, for players who have kind of this newfound leverage, I think, to be receptive to, yeah, let's play 16 games, 17 games. That had to be on the table, in my perspective, if I were a player or if I was a part of the system right now.
Is it as simple as just allowing them to make money off themselves, signing autographs or whatever they want to do? Or are you suggesting these players receive actual compensation?
No, not for the games, but it's every player then has an opportunity to take advantage of their name, like EA Sports, the college football game, right? That's now something that we're moving back towards. And because NIL is going to allow these guys to get paid a certain fraction of revenue sales from EA Sports for selling a college football game that has Emory Jones on the cover, and he's still a college athlete. You can make money off of that, and that's the financial benefit and kickback of being a college athlete.
So does Spencer Rattler draw the same amount as a backup safety from Boise State?
That's a whole different can of worms, because the answer is no.
Well, do you think that complicates it? I'm not suggesting that
If you're a backup safety for Iowa State, are you thinking about opting out and not playing games? Or are you playing for the love of the game?
No, but I think the player pool is so vast, and we are focusing in on the top 3%, probably, maybe less.
Who are the players who are playing for teams that are contending for national championships?
Right.
And I think that's why this conversation, at least currently constructed, is limited to the name, image, likeness. Because I think if we get to a conversation of full compensation on a per game basis, I think, Joe, what you're bringing up is what's the value of a quarterback in comparison to a third string safety. Right now, the name, image, and likeness bills and laws and regulations that the NCAA is looking at is just going to put the power into the player's hands to where if that safety from Boise State has a local car dealership that they have a family member who is interested in having them do radio spots for that car dealership, and I'm using a very specific extreme example, but they can get paid for that, right? And they're just allowed to explore those options.
Yeah,
what you're talking about is a conversation that, frankly, we're not ready for as a society, as a sport. We're not ready for that conversation.
I 100% agree. And I think that's why I wanted to establish this, because if you remember, like, one of the first things I said is, hey, if Spencer Rattler wants to go sign autographs at the mall and charge $50 a pop, like, man, you should be able to do that and not be disqualified for playing college football. Just like, I love the example you brought up. Maybe it's not as high profile, but maybe you are in Iowa and you play for Iowa State. And like you said, you have an opportunity to do some marketing stuff for a local business. Like, abso-friggin-lutely, you should be able to do that. So I wanted to make sure that we weren't saying, well, in order for all this stuff to happen, we have to get to this big picture stuff. You know what I mean? So that's why I thought it was important to make that distinguishment. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and the UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so that's an interesting place to start the conversation.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about what's actually happening.
So I figured we can get there. And Shuby, you're so good at it. Somebody besides me outlined this.
I'll do it since you threw my name out there. So the College Football Playoff put a subcommittee together of four people. I believe it was the commissioners of the Big 12, the SEC, and the Mountain West, along with the Notre Dame AD. And they were tasked over the last two seasons, the last 2 years, to put together an expansion proposal, an idea of how they could do this. And what we learned today is that when they meet with the full CFP, which is supposed to happen next week, their plan is, and this is what they've come up with, is that they are going to propose a 12-team model. And the way it would work is the six highest conference winners, those six get automatic buys, or I'm sorry, they get automatic bids, excuse me, and then the other six will be at large in terms of their ranking. So it will be a 12-team format. The top four teams will get a bye, and then the other teams 5 through 12, and this is where right now there's a little bit of controversy and there's a little bit of debate over, is those teams 5 through 12, they will play their games, and the higher seed, so in the 5-12 matchup, the 5 seed is going to host that game in their home building, and then the quarterfinal, semis, and the final are all going to be the bowl games, and then obviously the college football national championship. And that right now is really the only thing that people are critical of. I don't think there's a lot of criticism of expanding to 12. I think a lot of the criticism right now is, hey, these four teams that you're giving buys to, shouldn't they have the right to host a home game since they're the teams that had the most success? So that's kind of where we're at right now. This, by the way, is not official yet. It has to be approved by the College Football Playoff Committee. They have to give the go-ahead. They have to decide when, if, how they're going to do this. But this is the first major step for college football playoff expansion.
Somebody who's on the college football beat said, like, this is going to pass. And well, I think everybody's expectation is that this is going
to
pass.
I just want to warn everybody that today's news is not, we have stamped this, it is a done deal for this season. There are steps to go here.
Well, and it sounds like it would be after the 2023 college football season is kind of what they have soft circled. Is that correct?
I believe that is what I'm reading. And again, that's what these next couple of stages are for. They have to present the proposal next week. And then throughout the course of the rest of the summer and into September, they're going to look at, hey, how quickly can we implement this? How are we going to implement it? And the kind of the logistical steps. And then from there, they'll make an announcement. And that's why I said, this is very similar to the college football video game news, right? We got the news of, hey, there's a college football video game. It's supposed to come out this time. There's a long way to go before it ultimately happens. Same thing here. It looks like it's going to happen. We're on track for it to happen, but there are things that still need to be done.
So as far as my understanding is, you mentioned the top four teams. It's the top four conference winners,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, they have to be a conference winner in order to get that bye. And so one of the other things that people are talking about, and I should have mentioned this before, Notre Dame cannot be one of those top four seeds. The highest seed they can get in this format is the five seed because they are not attached to a conference. They kind of play a pseudo ACC schedule, but until they full-fledged join a conference, the highest seed they can get in this process is the five seed.
Well, and didn't I think it was the Notre Dame AD that was a part of the subcommittee. Didn't he say, like, I'm looking forward to never having to hear about playing one less game than everybody else?
Yep. And this the reason why he's saying that is it's his contention of now we are at a disadvantage. Our disadvantage for not playing in a conference and not playing that extra game is the highest we can go is five. So basically stuff it with your conversations about we don't play a conference championship. That is the way I inferred that comment.
And I think that validates what you were kind of talking about is one of the big sticking points right now. You would rather have the bye than the home game, right? Like, because you were saying that you're at a disadvantage for not getting that home game, or maybe disadvantage isn't the right word, but a sticking point is that if you earn one of those byes, you never get to host a playoff game at your home stadium. Well, you'd rather have the bye.
Yeah, and people's contention is, and mine too, is that it feels a little backwards, right? You if you're the team that makes one of the top four seeds, you should get the bye and you should get the home game, right?
Oh, like okay. So that's the
bowls, because what they're doing is for those second and the quarter semis and obviously the college football championship, they're attaching bowls to them, just like we do now, where we rotate the Rose, the Fiesta, the Peach. We rotate those through the college football playoff. Well, that's what they're going to continue to do. So I think what people want to do is flip it, make those bowl games the first round matchups and make those at whatever neutral sites they're going to be, and then have the quarters and semis be home games for the teams that earn it. Again, this is a little nuance that we're debating. This is a big first step, but that's really what the big discussion point is.
Let's have, what was the example from this year? Let's have Notre Dame versus Coastal Carolina at the Gasparilla Bowl. And have a neutral site game. That's right.
That is what people
knock
are saying.
It out of the park.
That
Great
is
idea.
What people are saying should be the fix to this, instead of the Gasparilla Bowl or the Red Box Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl being the quarters or the semis. Right? They would rather those flip and then give them the home game. I think you could.
You
also
get a bye.
You could also potentially work it out to where you, other than maybe let's say the Rose Bowl, and I know some of these bowls they schedule out years in advance and they're kind of figureheads in certain cities, but why can't you make it the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl in, you know, Tuscaloosa where Alabama's playing? Like what's the logistical hurdle there to why they can't do that? So there's a lot of stuff that needs to get into, but Joe and I were almost going to, it was a heated argument pre-show because he didn't want to have this conversation with me. I don't think Joe's a fan of the 12 team expansion.
Okay. So I guess
is it too big for you? Is that your concern?
Yeah, well, okay, so here it is. And Kyle, you and I have been having these conversations for years.
Years.
And so I think where I gain happiness is the whole conversation about the Coastal Carolinas and the BYUs and the Cincinnati's and the UCFs, the Houstons, it's over with. I'm very, very happy that we no longer have to pretend or, you know, hype what's the word I'm looking for? Just dream about these players having these opportunities. Like it's going to be there. They're going to have these opportunities. And so they can go and prove it. They can go and earn it and knock off three teams in a row and be the national championship. You know, so that's where I get really happy.
Have you seen the movie, The Program?
Yeah, but again, I saw it one time 15 years ago, so I don't really remember it.
So I'm thinking of this one character. Chris, have you seen it? I assume not.
That's a good assumption on your part.
Okay. Well, there's a character, and his name's Latimer, and he's a career backup at the school that's the center of the movie, and he starts juicing to get on the field, and they're in training camp, and they release the depth chart, and he checks the depth chart, and he finds out he's a starter, and he just keeps screaming over and over again, and he's like breaking things over his head, smashing lockers with his head, seat at the table, seat at the table, seat at the table. So for you, Joe, you're excited that Coastal Carolina or Cincinnati has a seat at the table. Now, they finally just have a chance to sit down and say, hey, all we've been asking for is to give us our due. If we qualify for the criteria, if we go undefeated and we boat race everybody we play and we beat a few Power Five schools along the way in non-conference, give us a little respect. Let us at least play. Don't make us feel as though this is effectively just an invitational, which is, I think, the phrasing that we used last year when we were upset with some of the picks. It felt like an invitational because if you're going to take the most qualified teams based off the resumes, it's very easy to be dismissive of the Cincinnati's of the world who play the AAC schedule. But that's no longer going to be the case because you're guaranteed at least one highest ranked group of six conference winner is a guaranteed bid to the college football playoff.
That's right, and sometimes it could be two, right? If you have a crap champion in the Big 12 or the Pac-10 or whatever, could have two of them. It's the six highest ranked.
This would have been the only year this past year because Ross Dellinger put this together. Joe, I think you dropped this in the premium or in our Slack channel for
draft. By the way, it's the Pac-12, Joe. I just was saving you the tweets. It's
Pac-10, okay. Pac-12, big whatever. The Big 12 has 10 teams. Yeah, come on.
2020 would have been the only year over the past 7 years that would have seen two group of five, group of six, whatever. It would have been Coastal and Cincinnati would have made the playoffs.
And so everybody could watch Notre Dame play Coastal and everybody could have felt good about that. I guess, I don't know. That's the thing is, like, I'm glad that they have a seat at the table. For me, I've always, like, I don't really enjoy the NCAA tournament for basketball because I think it's oversaturated. And I don't want the Cinderella stories. I just want the best teams playing for the championship. And I think this is digestible for me who wants that because I'm so over these conversations to the point where it's like, all right, they get to play now.
So I want to counter that point because I think it's a fair one. You talk about how the NCAA tournament now has 68 teams that get to play and they have all the playing games and you have the Cinderellas. But Joe, the only reason why Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina are treated as Cinderellas in college football is because they're not given an opportunity to play in. It is a narrative that's driven by the way the sport is structured. Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina don't look at it and say, we're Cinderella. Where in college basketball, there are so many conferences that, yeah, the team out of the American is a Cinderella because they don't play anybody all year. They're a 13 seed. They have to win six games in a row just to make it to the championship. Whereas Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina, they're Cinderellas because they're not invited.
So that begs the question, should they be invited?
Now they are. And we actually saw Cincinnati play the same school that they would have played in the quote-unquote invitational or in the expanded college football playoff, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah,
and Cincinnati should have won that football game.
Josh Wiley ran the wrong route and clogged up a very wide-open target, carried the coverage there, and Desmond Ridder didn't connect with the throw because Josh Wiley ran the wrong route. It's that simple. They should have beat Georgia in the Peach Bowl. But here's what I would say about that. When you're a team like Georgia and your sights are set on playing in the tournament, the Final Four, and you get dealt Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl, your level of focus isn't there. Your players are opting out. It's a different situation where the guys with a chip on their block is Cincinnati that wants to go and prove that they can play with Georgia. We've seen this Florida against Louisville, the Teddy Bridgewater game. You saw Texas and Georgia. You've seen Alabama lay eggs in non-playoff bowl games. You know, like, so I think that's an argument that a lot of people are going to go to, but those mindsets are completely different.
Which is a fair counterpoint as well. So I guess, what's your temperature about this watering down the regular season?
I don't think it does as much. That was one of my questions for the group was, what does this mean for scheduling and how teams are going to approach this? And you know, I know that we're already scheduling games in 2031, right? Alabama and Boston College, mark your calendars.
Outrageous.
But, you know, like, do you think this changes scheduling? Does this make you hyper-focused in on winning your conference? Or are you still trying to build that resume if you're certain teams?
Well, I think it – I would love to see some traction gained off of the flex scheduling that we saw with Coastal and BYU, and I know that's not a very realistic expectation to set, right? Is because from a logistics standpoint, there's so many things that have to come together, and when you're not in a COVID season in which teams are dropping games left and right because they have protocol issues – it's just not a realistic expectation that there's going to be a bunch of teams sitting around that are ranked inside the top 15. It's like, yo, you want to link up this weekend and play a game? Yeah, sure, let's do it. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I wish there was some way or structure for us to see that materialize, because I think it would prompt some more aggression towards the end of the year with scheduling. And if you're going to schedule an out-of-conference game, why would you not take a shot at somebody who's similarly rated to you and try and boost your seating so you can try and get a home game if you're not going to win your conference? You know, like, there's so many levels of strategy that could theoretically now come into play here with the way that this is structured. But I think there's too many moving parts, and there's too much finality. Like you said, we're scheduling non-conference games for a decade from now. Like, nobody's going to have an open week next year in the second week of November that they're going to be calling other teams up and trying to find a partner.
Have an important question to ask you guys in just a moment. But first, Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet. Kyle, I tied a personal record today. I ate three different flavors.
That's it.
I know you've probably eaten three within an hour before, but
no comment.
Yeah, maybe more. Kyle's a Built Bar guy. So am I, but I can't eat that many in a row. Coconut almond, raspberry, birthday cake, mint brownie, double chocolate. So many raspberry. Great flavors.
You mentioned raspberry?
Of course. I've been talking about raspberry for 2 weeks. I'm loving it.
Raspberry rocks, right, baby.
They're all delicious, all covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're like eating a candy bar, but they are good for you. They're low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein, they're high fiber. If you're on the keto diet, they are perfect. If you want to try Built Bars and for some reason you haven't yet, go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15. It'll get you 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So here's a question that I have for you. So it's a 12-team playoff field.
Yep.
And if you look across the landscape dating back to 2014, courtesy of Ross Dellinger on Twitter.
Yep.
You will see that a combined 22 teams ranked inside the top 12 would have missed it. Do you believe that's fair? If your goal is to get the 12 best teams in the tournament.
Yeah, but this
2014,
this is where auto bids have to come into play. Like, you have to have a certain level of, that was our whole gripe was, man, I can't believe Cincinnati got left out, undefeated conference champion. Like, I get it. And there's always going to be that level of discretion, but that's what happens when the AP poll isn't the same voters who are the people who are running the college football playoff committee.
Shuby?
I think it puts, look, I'm a fan of 12. I would have been okay with as many as 16. I know the face. It's fine. That's fine. I would have been fine with 16. So I think, and I'm going to piggyback this back to your scheduling question, because what I think this is going to allow teams to do is it's going to allow some teams to potentially schedule games knowing, hey, we can suffer a loss, but we can also get a really important win that could strengthen our schedule. One loss doesn't necessarily doom you anymore if you're a team in, let's say, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, right? One loss doesn't doom you the way that it did in years past. So you might go out and try to schedule a game in which you can play a team that, man, if you pick up that victory, that strength of schedule at the end of the season allows you to sneak into this top 12, even if you don't win your conference championship. So I think there's some strategic chess moves that can be made from this. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think what the what this is an attempt to do, in my opinion, it is an attempt to take all of the hard part of what the CFP's job has been over the last couple of years out of the mix, because they have seen over the last 3 years in particular that they get grilled because they constantly get it wrong. They don't get the four teams that they should.
Well, it's because they keep moving the goalposts.
Fair, but they don't do that part of the job correctly. So their fix is, if we expand to 12, we give the six conference highest conference champions a bye, and then pick the next six best teams. This is going to be easy. No one's going to argue about the 13th team that's going to be left out, because they're just going to be like, man, win your conference, or at least be one of the top two teams in your conference. It's going to be really easy for us to make that case. They're making the job easier for themselves. That's what they're trying to do.
Right, right. I think so. Let me ask you. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, my favorite thing about this is there's a statistic out there. Since 2014, of the 28 available spots in the playoffs, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State and Oklahoma have filled 20 of them. And I get nervous about, I mean, don't you guys get nervous about there just not being enough competitive balance in college football, and that it is just six teams that have a chance for four spots, and whichever one, you know, poops their pants at the wrong time in the season
gets punished.
You know, they're out, but it's the same cast of characters. And so for the third or fourth best team in the SEC, or the third best team in the, you have a chance now.
Right. And Joe, can I piggyback off of that? Because I saw a tweet today, and I don't have it in front of me, so I may misquote this, but I believe it is four of the last 5 years that if you were ranked lower than seventh in the first CFP rankings that came out, you didn't get in. You had to be inside that first top seven, or else it was a no-go for you four of the last 5 years. So not only is it what you're talking about, it's also an unwillingness by the committee to let a team be a late riser and be a team in the process. You're either there at the beginning and you keep your spot, or you didn't put it together until late enough, right? You didn't really show your best work until late in the season. You don't have that full body of work, or whatever excuse when they stick whoever the committee chair is that year in front of ESPN, and Reese Davis gets to ask him questions, and the person blubbers around for 15 minutes. That's whatever their excuse is. But if you're not in the top seven in that first playoff ranking, you have not gotten in. So that's another problem too, is that there's just this unwillingness to really have a major change in the way they think about this stuff.
Well, and that comes back to it. It's been an invitational. It has not been the best four teams with consistency. It has been, let's make sure we get the teams that have the biggest name brand, who didn't lose at the end of the season. That's what it's this. That's what this has felt like it's been about. But I guess my last question here, to bring us to a close, is we have this kind of roster of teams going back to 2014. And my question for you guys is, are there any teams that stand out to you when you're looking at it laid out in the way that it was, that didn't make the dance, that you felt could have if this structure was in place?
Oh, I got plenty.
Can I answer your question with a question?
Oh, no, but yes.
Well, because I and this is fresh on my mind, because I recently just studied Cincinnati in Georgia, the Peach Bowl, several times through, because I did Desmond Ridder, the quarterback from Cincinnati, and then I did Ahmad Gardner, the corner from Cincinnati, and I've done somebody else in that game. I can't remember. I've been through it a lot. Oh, the tight end, Josh Wiley. And, I mean, this is probably – Cincinnati probably had as good of case of any non-Power 5 team to have an opportunity to play in the Final Four.
Wow, slander for that UCF team from 2018. So self-declared national champion. UCF. So,
the banner is raised.
So against Georgia, man, like, it wasn't a fair fight up front. It wasn't a fair fight. Desmond Ridder was sacked 8 times, put on his ass time and time and time and time again.
It's a dollar for the swear jar.
Yeah, I'll put it in there. I'm just saying, like, you do still have to be mindful of this, that this is still a line of scrimmage game, and Coastal Carolina going up against Notre Dame, dude, like,
that'd have gotten ugly.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, can I try to answer this?
Shh, please.
this is not something that gets fixed in a 2 to 3 year window, Joe. But the way you have to look at this is if now the Cincinnati's and the Coastal Carolinas and the UCFs and the Memphises and the Western Michigans, I'm just looking at the list of teams that we've just that are on this spreadsheet that I'm looking at.
This is going to help their recruiting, and you're going to get more.
And now I can compete at that level because I can go to a kid and I can say, listen, we got a chance now. With you on our team, we can go to the dance. We can be that team that makes a run, and we can win a national championship. Where before, those coaches can't go in that living room with a straight face and tell a kid and his parents that we have a chance to win the national championship.
You're assuming that there's enough human beings to do this. I think that's the problem.
Never mind that. Now your sales pitch is, not only do we have a legit chance as one of the best of the group of five teams to make the playoffs and make a run, but you have a seat to play here. You know, you can go play for Nick Saban and sit for 3 years and play as a senior and get great NFL coaching, or you can get a young, energetic staff who's got an opening at your position that you can actively play at and learn and play on the field for years and still simultaneously compete for a championship.
So, Joe, no, does this help 2022's teams? No. Does it help 2023's teams? No. But 2024, 2025? This could have a major impact on recruiting, man.
I honestly hope so. I really, really hope so, because I want to see good football players spread around more. And I think opportunity is so critical. We watch a lot of good football players that just don't have opportunity. And they're all going to the same damn school, man. You know, like.
By the way, the answer to your question, Kyle, the Baylor team in 2014.
It's a bad answer, but okay. I respect you for actually answering the question.
The two UCF teams in 2017 and 2018?
No, 17 we're going to do diddly poo.
And Cincinnati.
They would have to play Bama in the first round.
National champions. Did you see the banner?
I don't care. I don't.
Alabama in 2019 doesn't get in.
Well, yeah, they had Mac Jones playing because Tua got hurt. So they said, Lehman home. So they went and played Michigan in the Outback Bowl and beat the brakes off them. Do you have an answer?
For a team? Wait, what's the question? One more time, please.
Yeah, because I asked you and you took it to a different place. I was a little surprised. Is there a team that looking from 2014 to 2020, do you have a team when you see it laid out in the structure of what it would have actually looked like that didn't make the college football playoff in reality, that in this version of reality, you could envision having made a run?
Georgia 2019.
Oh, you were all beside themselves when they didn't get in. They didn't deserve to get in, though. I'd have left them out of the 12 team playoff for that play, that fake punt play call at midfield with a minute left in the game, Kirby. My answer is 2016 Penn State, by the way.
You think they should have been out?
No, they did not make it.
Oh, okay.
They lost
under
two
the
games.
Previous one. They would have got in, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They lost two games early in the season. Michigan boat raced them, like sometime in September, and they ran the table from there. They beat Ohio State. They beat a good Michigan State team by like 30 points. They beat Wisconsin, who was a top 8 team in the Big Ten championship. And the committee put Ohio State in over Penn State when Penn State was the Big Ten champion who beat Ohio State head-to-head because Ohio State only had one loss and Penn State had two. Under this structure, Penn State would have been the 4 seed. They would have had to play, what, the winner of Ohio State versus
Western Michigan.
They'd already beat Ohio State once. 2016 Penn State, that was the team that went to the Rose Bowl and was up and they forgot. They were up like 28 points and forgot how to play football in the final 18
Darnold
minutes. And Sam Darnold
mind.
Brought him back. Yeah. Darnold played lights
that.
Out.
It's my quarter. That was my former quarterback.
Yeah. Congrats on that. Congrats on making it through another week of draft dudes. This was a fun one. I'm glad the football gods gave us a little something spicy to end the week with. If you missed yesterday's live stream, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the YouTube channel, the Draft Network, we are continuing to work our way towards our first 2022 mock draft based off a draft order that is predetermined by what the end result was of us on the live streams on Thursdays, picking every single game of the NFL season and the playoffs, which is what we did yesterday. So check it out. YouTube channel. I'm Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino, Chris Schubert. Thanks as always for listening to Draft Dudes Podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you guys again on Monday.